Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's the Burt Show.
So we got into a conversation about pediatricians.
Okay.
Randomly. This is literally how the conversation started. The conversation started about traveling to Central America and South America.
Mm-hmm.
Then Carl points out that he read an article that Dominican Republic is becoming a hotbed for sex travel. And then I pointed out that one time when Jessica and I were in Costa Rica, there was a guy who was down there, and he clearly had invested in some companionship while he was down there.
Gross.
But it was weird because he was a pediatrician.
Did he invest in a companionship with someone his own age or someone younger?
Younger, much younger.
Oh, God.
Right?
Gross. Okay.
So he was a pediatrician. So then I talked about how I thought it was creepy that guy's a pediatrician and he's investing in that companionship. I think that's just weird. And then Carl mentioned, I think it's weird just having a guy pediatrician. And then, so follow so far. This is the conversation that happened off the air. So then Carl
makes kids to have a female.
Right. Because motherly instincts. Whatever.
Right, the maternal instincts.
The nurturing.
And then Jen makes a remark about how she would only go to a female gynecologist for the same reason, because the girl's got that part, you know, those parts.
Right. I don't want to go to a mechanic that's never owned my car.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
Jen was saying off air. Mm-hmm.
So she makes that remark. And then I made a comment about... and some guy gynecologists could be creepy, like the way the pediatrician was.
Some, but I do know women that only go to guy gynecologists,
in
too.
In Costa Rica. And then Jen shared a story about a creeper gynecologist that she had.
I did. I just had a strange experience when I was young with a male gynecologist, so I'll never do that again. I've shared it on the air before.
That's what brought us to the debate.
So that's when I asked Jen, I said, so where was your dad when this happened?
Okay.
And she looked at me like, what are you asking?
So explain what happened first at the gynecologist.
Okay. So I went and it was just for probably my first annual exam or whatever. And women know it's not the most comfortable thing in the world. And I was young and whatever. And the doctor at the time was out of breath. After the exam, he was out of breath and he couldn't look me in the eye. And it was awkward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even like that young and not knowing what I was supposed to expect from an appointment, I knew that that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
And he never said anything inappropriate. It was just his physical reaction.
Did he have to have a nurse in the room with him at the time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I do now. I don't know if they always have.
Yeah, yeah. There was definitely like a tech or a nurse, another person in the room or whatever. But after the exam, he like couldn't speak. Clearly was like stuttering through his sentences, very clearly like out of breath and would not look me in the eye. And I was so creeped out by it. I was like, ew, God, that's just something about it was off. I knew it was, you know, something was wrong with it, whatever. And so I just never went back to a male doctor after that. That was like it for the experience for me. So he didn't behave inappropriately. I think it was a physical reaction that he had. I was 16,
still.
16 or 17 years old.
Yeah. So Jen shared that story, and then Carl was shocked because she never reported it to her dad.
Right, and I know, I understand, I know how close Jen is to her dad.
Yeah.
So I just thought that automatically, being that you were uncomfortable with that situation, somebody, either your mom or somebody, told the dad.
No.
And when you looked at it, like, and that's why I said, what?
And why?
I've had an experience with a creeper on a vacation trip. I was much younger than 16. And we were at a hotel on a road trip, and it was at a time when you never thought about your kid running up to the gift shop ahead of you or running back to the room behind you.
Running to the ice machine?
Yeah. I mean, I was by myself. And this guy who I had met a couple times, like at the pool and at the gift shop, not realizing he was kind of watching me. Because I think I was 11 at the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
And he cornered me and tried to escort me to the back of the building, and I got away from him. And I told my mom, because I wasn't going to tell anybody, and mom could totally tell something was wrong. Mm. And I told her, and then I told my sister, and my sister at the time was married, so and she told her husband, but we decided not to tell dad because he would have killed him. And you know, every...
But he should.
Yes.
But, I mean...
That's what dads do.
But literal.
Yeah, but you know, you also don't want your dad to go to jail because of this creeper for killing him. And so
there's definitely plenty of things from.
And it was Millie Pete's decision not to tell my dad.
Mm-hmm. But
and he never
upset.
And he never learned about it.
I'd be so upset with my wife if she didn't tell me something like that. Because I mean, give me.
But you're gonna do something.
I'm going to address it so it doesn't happen again to you, so you don't have to worry about it again. Mm-hmm. So whatever that guy, I may go up to his office, address him real firmly, but I'm going to make sure that my daughter is not feeling uncomfortable again.
That would make her uncomfortable.
Like in this situation, the reason that my brother-in-law was told, because my sister's much older than me, so you know they were in their 20s. You know, my brother-in-law was told for that reason. My brother-in-law wasn't going to do anything.
So he was
with me the whole time, and he had his eye on the guy, and he kind of made eye contact with the guy to let him know he knew something had happened. But we didn't tell dad. And, you know, and then we left, and I was never going to see the guy again. Now, I felt guilty. The only part about it that I did feel guilty about him not even getting confronted is I was worried about what other kids has he done that to.
Right.
You know? So I thought about that after that, and it made me feel like I was responsible for not saying anything, but
So why didn't you say anything to your dad?
I would have never thought to do that. I don't think I shared it with anybody.
Will you tell your mom?
I think maybe.
Because you said you never went to that doctor again.
No, I never went to that doctor again. So yeah, I think I told her something, but I don't remember if I actually told her the story or not. And honestly, I can't remember.
And Wendy was, why wouldn't you have said anything to your dad?
Mm-mm.
It's just an uncomfortable thing. And no, my dad would have killed a guy if that situation happened with Melissa. My dad has plenty of shotguns. He's been in the military. I mean, you're his baby girl, and he's going to protect you. So in any situation like that, he's going to do what he has to do.
And probably even from like ex relationships. Like, your mom probably knows a lot more things that went wrong in those relationships than you would ever tell your dad.
Oh,
things
yes.
the guy either did to you, said to you. Things
that Carl's like, wait
yes.
a minute.
Yeah. Right. My mom knows a lot more, and she and I have both decided not to tell my father a few things because of that reason exactly.
What are the chances that you sit down with your daughter in the next day? Let's go to McDonald's, and you guys are going to sit down and have a little heart-to-heart.
Oh, it's going down tonight.
It's not going to happen.
Now, the knowledge that my father would kill him is comforting. Like, as weird as that sounds, the knowledge that my father would have protected me had he known is something that is comforting. So we know that our dads would take care of us, but there is some vulnerability to it that there's a part of you just wants to forget about it and move on.
Let me ask one question. Are you afraid of how your father's going to react in front of you? Like, if my daughter tells me something, I may get a little huffy and puffy, and that may just kind of intimidate her. It's not towards her. But
no, I didn't want to relive it.
It's not reliving it, but it's protecting your dad.
Wow.
From the realities that bad things could happen to his daughter.
And there's a part of me that didn't want to have to go through the story with my dad.
I'm with you, Carl. I've like
hands down, man.
So
as long as your child knows that you do, I mean, like it like I said, as warped as it sounds, I mean, I knew that my dad would and could, and you know, I'm proud of that, and I feel protected by that.
Do you do the same thing in relationships? And this might be more of a question for the man, like when you're in a relationship with a man like Jen, when you were married, or if you get in another long-term relationship and something comes up, would you not tell your husband or your boyfriend or you, Wendy, like keep it from them for the same reasons?
No,
it's
a specific dad thing.
So if that happens,
it's specifically to your father,
there's some things that dad should just not know.
If the same, if the creepy doctor appointment thing happens while you were married, would you have told your husband?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But not your dad?
No.
That's why I told my brother-in-law. Didn't tell my father.
Yeah.
You know?
That's funny. When he said certain things that dad should not know, I didn't know that some women thought like that, because I would tell my mom anything eventually.
That's different. Because we can tell our moms anything, but you can't tell your dad anything.
Would you tell your dad anything?
Yeah, if I feel like it, yeah. Definitely.
Hey, Amy, welcome to the Bird Show, Amy.
Hey, guys. I had an unfortunate incident at the chiropractor one time. I was there, and I had fallen off a horse, and so I had, you know, supposedly had a bruise on my behind, and the chiropractor just decided that he was going to pull down my pants halfway.
And
what was so funny is that my brother was in the room, and he did this.
Ew, creepy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but I ended up telling my father, and he went and confronted him, and everything was fine, but still a little awkward to see that chiropractor.
You still go?
Well, I don't go to him. I go to somebody else in that office, but it's still a little weird.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, he's still making money off of you. I don't go to a different office, but... Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Weird. I don't know. I just, yeah, I think it's you want to protect your dad because you don't. Yeah. I think it's like you choose your battles. You choose your battles. Your dad's going to be the general of, yeah. You know.
Yes.
And it's like I'm not going to come to him with everything, and especially something creepy that maybe already because we left that hotel and I never saw that guy again, and he had those damn handle, you know, like twirl mustache. And it makes me sick to see guys with that because of that guy. But yeah.
Well, I never had an incident. That still creeps me out. That
no, the little twirl.
Nobody ever touched me in a hotel. It's just weird.
Here, Bert Show. The Bert Show.
Engaged.
Yes.
Yay. Yay.
Congratulations.
I bet you never saw this coming.
No, I didn't. It totally blindsided me. It was weird. I always get this thing wrong, huh? I should figure out the mic thing if I'm going to do radio.
You're married now. You got to figure out that thing's got to be close to your face.
Just
because you're engaged doesn't change the rules, so you know.
And guys don't get any creepier than that.
No, they don't.
So I know these guys talked to you about it yesterday, but you got to fill me in. What happened?
So this past weekend, Jason and I went up to the North Georgia Mountains. We rented a cabin. And I was telling them yesterday, like, going into every weekend, I was thinking this could be it, you know, like this could be the moment. Well, my best friend threw me off because I know that she's been talking with Jason about how to, you know, giving him ideas on how to do it and when to propose and everything. And
passing along your script.
Yes.
And what rings you like. And what
yes, exactly. Like I sent her pictures of the rings that I wanted and everything like that. So she called me Friday and was like, hey, what are you doing Saturday night? Because she's getting married. And she's like, I'm going to go check out this band Saturday night that I might want to use for my wedding. And I was thinking, wait a minute. She would be the one to know what was going on if I was going to be getting engaged this weekend. So she totally threw me off. But then, you know, Saturday morning, we get up and I'm making him breakfast in the cabin and everything. And we're done eating breakfast. He's like, hey, come outside. Let's go sit by the fireplace. It's a really pretty fireplace outside. And we're sitting down in front of the fireplace. He's got one arm around me, one hand in his pocket. Thought it was a little weird that he wouldn't put both arms around me. So I'm like, what's going on in that pocket, you know? And he starts in with the sweet talk. And he's like, you know, I really care about you. And I really love you. You're the only person I've ever loved. And I know that, you know, we've had great times in the past. And we're going to continue to have great times. And then that's when he
when he said, but I need a break.
He said, well, we're going to break up, and it's kind of weird. No, he
but
said...
But will you accept this rose?
He actually said, so I might as well get this over with, and then went down on one knee and proposed.
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow,
so,
okay.
Yes, and it was really sweet, and you could just tell he was really nervous, and he said he actually wanted to ask me in Spanish, but he could barely get it out of his mouth in English, that he's like, I'll scratch that, I'll just say it in English.
How cute.
But he does want to do his vows in Spanish, he said.
Oh, that's
so sweet!
That's sweet.
All right, let me ask you a realistic question. So when you're at the bar and you're bartending, are you going to keep your engagement ring on?
I did have my engagement ring on yesterday. I worked for the first time, mm-hmm. and I had my engagement ring, and I said, this is either going to work for me or against me, mm-hmm. now, because the people are going to see it, and they're going to be like, oh, because it's a beautiful ring, and it's shiny,
it's
and sparkly.
Really,
I'm afraid they're going to be like, well, she's got plenty of money, but it's really not my money. It's his money. It's not our money yet.
And right. For those that don't know, like, Joanna will tell guys, did you tell them that you were single, or you just never said that you had
a
boyfriend?
No, I told him I had a boyfriend, if they asked. I never just
volunteered. And you missed this while you were gone, but she would also imply that he was currently deployed.
Okay. No, I did not imply that.
She just wouldn't say it. She never corrected somebody.
So you would say he's in the military, and they're like, oh,
and
I hope
he
gets back safely.
And I would assume where he is.
So you get more tips.
Yes.
Okay.
But now, they've got the ring, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know
go.
How that's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got a man to take care of you, so you don't even have to make money.
Not yet. We're not married yet. It's not our money.
Yeah, she doesn't really have the hooks in until he says I do, so... So I'm assuming that you've got like a folder like this. This wedding's just about done already. The planning for it.
There is a folder in my car. I went and bought a binder yesterday with dividers. I've already up to 3 bridal magazines, and I've already been ripping out pictures and everything. We do have a date, but we don't. It's not secure yet because I still have to call. I have an appointment to call the church this week and find out if we can get married at this church
so
and everything.
Fun. Oh, and you didn't let Bertwin know when you're getting married.
May 28th of 2011.
May 28th of 2011.
Mark your calendars.
Okay. Memorial Day weekend.
Got it. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm excited. I'm still...
Does it feel like you thought it would after all the begging and pleading and checking his emails and checking his,
living under
honestly,
his
suitcase for the wedding ring?
I thought I'd feel a little different, but now it's like I've been picturing the ring on my finger for so long. But now that it is on my finger, it feels like it's been there the whole time because I've been envisioning it on my finger. So,
do you have any advice for girls that are expecting to get engaged? Like, would you encourage them to do things the same way you did or do it differently?
Probably not. Stop. Like, I read into everything he did, so I can't help it. That's just my personality.
Drove you crazy after a while.
Yeah, it did.
Here's Marissa. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, Bert. Hey, everyone. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just want to tell Joanna that my husband and I got married in October, and he's a bartender at Taco Mac, and when he would, the first week he wore his wedding band, he had totally cut down on his tips, so he decided to not wear his wedding band anymore, and I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah, I told you guys about this dude, that this hairstylist up in D.C. that I knew, Nash. All the girls loved him. He's such a good-looking, exotic dude, and he got engaged, and his business went right to crap.
Really?
All these girls were going to see him because he's such a hottie. He got engaged and he had to start all over again.
Wow. I can see that.
So you consider, girl.
I'm not taking it off. So it doesn't even come off when I go to sleep or take a shower or wash my hands. It's not coming off.
You worked hard for it.
Yes.
Keep it on. The Burt Show. Hi, Melissa Carter. What is the teacher vent line?
Basically, it's a place for teachers to vent because we know that teachers, you know, every day they deal with the students, they deal with the teachers, they deal with the administration, they deal with other teachers, and so they can't get in front of the classroom and show any kind of anger or frustration. They have to be kind and nurturing, so we want to give them a place to be able to vent. So it's our voicemail, and you can call this number, and you can, if you're a teacher, and you can just get it out of your system. So
it's
that
public service.
It is, because exactly. This is a public service we do for children, because we don't want the teachers to get in front of you and do and say the things that they say on this vent line.
404-255-3535 is the vent line number if you're a teacher and you just want to talk.
If you haven't seen math in 20 years, how do you expect to tell me how to teach math when you don't even know how to do anything without a calculator? So please, parents, lay off.
And this is the same reoccurring theme here.
Yes.
Is that teachers aren't calling up necessarily about the students. Mm-hmm. They're just really angry at the parents.
Right.
Are you kidding me? All the students are just idiots now. The parents are making them that way. They just entitle them to everything. They don't do anything now. They just sit around and play the games at home. They sit inside. They don't learn anything. They don't care about learning anything. The parents are just as accountable as they are. And don't get me on Sonny Perdon't, who keeps dropping our jobs every damn year. We get paid less and less every year. Let's take your supplements out even more. That makes you want to teach. It really does. And now we're just losing jobs every year.
Oh, I am so sick of these kids coming to school without paper and pencil. How are you going to expect to do anything if you don't have your supplies? And no, I don't have any for you. Hi, I'm a special ed teacher in a very poor district, and I want to know how we are supposed to teach our children without textbooks. Many counties around us have plenty of material. We're expected to meet these expectations, and we have nothing. My children write with crayons. Tell me how we're supposed to meet these expectations that legislators are passing down. I'm a daycare teacher and a parent. The kids tell you what to do, when to do it. They bring their kids in at any time of the day, before nap, after nap, when they need to.
End of message.
I have a reaction to me becoming a teacher. I either hear, oh, I'm sorry, or someone says, oh, well, at least you picked an easy job. We are not just working from 8 until 3:30 every day. We work around the clock all week, weekends, nights, and I'm just so sick of everyone being so discouraging when I'm entering the field. I am sick of parents that think that all of their children are perfect little angels and they can do no wrong when they come in the classroom and cuss and hit and spit and kick and totally disrespect the teachers. And then when you try to tell the student that they need to straighten up, they tell their parents and the parents want to come in with their ghetto, redneck, irritating, not having any common sense selves and wonder why in the hell we are treating their child so rudely when their child is the one acting like a straight and we make $20,000 to $25,000 a year to do this and have to take furlough days, but we're the students' greatest inspiration because we teach them. And there's some bad kids, and half of it is because the parents think that they can do no wrong, which is ridiculous.
End of messages.
Yeah, that's the one. We've talked quite a bit about that one, how there are just some parents that are just so out of touch with their own kids that they have, like when the teachers or school calls, it feels like they're talking about a completely different person.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then, and then you can tell that teachers and parents don't seem to work together, because we talked, we've said this so many times. If a teacher called my mom about something I did, my mom automatically sided with the teacher and then
Right.
And nowadays it seems like the parent goes to the teacher and say, how dare you punish my child?
I would almost be puzzled if I got my parents got a call from school and my mom or dad said, well, why don't you tell me your side of the story?
Oh, no way. There was no. Whatever. There was no side of the story.
I have a side of the story. I deserve to be grounded. Yeah.
The Burt Show. Hey, The Burt Show.
All right, Olivia, let's get back with Olivia here. A couple of weeks ago, she called us up, and she was making a very bold move, moving in with two different guys, two different apartments around Atlanta.
You know, moving is always stressful, but neither one of them on Saturday seemed like they had an inkling of what might be going on. I spent the night with Kennesaw Guy on Saturday night, and then Sunday I went back to my apartment. Midtown Guy came over.
Were there two very special nights with two very special guys on different nights this weekend?
Yes.
Okay, so the key in this thing also is, she's told both guys, look, don't expect me to fully commit to being here all the time, because my mom is going through a very emotional divorce right now. Mm-hmm. So she's using that to get out of the house and sort of go from dude to dude. Mm-hmm. So that was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Almost. Maybe not twice.
You guys talked to her for the first time and ended the story 2 weeks ago when I was out of town. So it was like a week and a half. So
she's juggling both these dudes now for 2 weeks, and let's see if it's worth it here. Hey, Olivia, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good. And as far as living in two houses goes, it's been going really well.
Really?
Yeah.
You
no
sound
problems
confident.
So far until this Valentine's Day thing came up.
Yeah, that was Jen's question. It's like, no, how are you going to handle this?
Yeah, who do you spend it with?
Yeah. And, you know, obviously I can't spend it with both of them. So I talked to Midtown Guy first and told him, you know, look, I have to work on Monday morning anyway, and Saturday night's a much better date night. So why don't we do something special on Saturday night, and then I can spend Valentine's Day with my mother, you know, and make sure she's okay on that romantic holiday. So he said, you know, that's great. We'll do that. And so then I talked to Kennesaw Guy, and we made plans for Valentine's Day evening. But then Kennesaw Guy says, and I also told Kennesaw Guy that I was going to be at my mother's on Saturday night, that I was going to wake up with her on Valentine's Day morning, spend some time with her. And so then Kennesaw Guy has Valentine's Day evening, but then he also says, look, I've planned something really special for us on Saturday night. I ordered a limo.
Oh.
Yeah. And he can't afford a limo. So this is like a really big
especially
deal.
Especially on Valentine's night. Don't they do the same? Don't limo companies do the same thing that flower companies do?
Jack,
the dozen roses that you bought last week that cost you $20 are now $60.
Three times,
The $150 limo ride is now $450.
Right.
So
this is for Saturday night, the night that I was going to spend with Midtown Guy.
Right.
And so, and I said, well, you know, I told my mother that I'd spend the night with her, and he said, you know, I'll get you home to your mother's house by 10 o'clock so you can still spend a little time with her before you go to bed.
So he wants to spend Saturday and Sunday with you?
Yes.
Huh. He's in love with her. Why wouldn't he?
Well, I know.
They've moved in together. They're almost engaged.
That's exactly what I'm worried about.
Oh, boy.
With Kennesaw Boy.
How long have you and Kennesaw Boy been dating?
We've been dating for 4 months.
Is there any chance you think that he's going to pop the question to you this weekend?
I think there's a chance. I do.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's like the limo Saturday night. Yeah.
What would you say?
Oh my gosh. I might say yes.
And then you just ditch Midtown Guy.
Well, I don't know if
I'd ditch him.
Oh, come on.
Wait, seriously? Right? If you were engaged to Kennesaw guy, you would not...
You would just keep...
You know, I would probably ditch Midtown guy, yes.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
What if both of them proposed to you this weekend?
Oh, shut up.
Oh, boy.
That's like a story.
Yeah, right.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe
that doesn't really happen.
If Kennesaw guy does propose to you to save money, maybe you can both move in with Midtown guy.
Yeah. So he's the one with all the money, right?
Good morning, Stephanie. You're on Q100. Hello. Hey, Stephanie.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm just curious. What does she do if one of these guys wants to end up going over to her mom's house at all?
Yeah, what if he's going to propose this week? And he calls your mom and, like, asks for your hand or something like that.
They both do.
Or they both do.
They like, both call her.
The call waiting clicks over while she's on the phone with one of them. Hold on, I got another call. Click.
Did she know about either one of them?
Yeah, did you tell us that part of the whole thing?
She knows I'm seeing someone. She doesn't know about either guy.
Okay.
Neat.
So you're not honest, really, with anybody in your life.
Except us.
Yeah, right, except the voices guys.
Really,
girlfriend.
Does anything more that matter than us?
I mean, really? Where your therapy couch?
Here is. Oh, no, she's not even asking for it. She's got it worked out. Hey, Heather.
Hello.
Hey.
I just wanted to tell this bimbo that she is a female chauvinist pig. That's exactly what she is. And I hope they find her. I hope they find out. And I hope one of them calls her mom's or asks her mom's number or whatever.
Do you say I love you to each one of these guys every day?
No, not every day.
When you're drunk?
But you've told them both. You tell them both you love them.
Yes.
Yeah.
So at this point, what are you going to do this weekend then?
Well, that's what I was hoping you would help me with.
Oh. You're not getting a lot of help over here.
Well, how can I help?
I didn't think I needed any help with the move. You guys called me initially. But now that we're in this together.
Awesome.
Now that we have a...
about how to handle Valentine's Day.
I think you've got to, all right, if we're just setting aside whether this is right or wrong and actually help her try to figure it out, which I'm going to do right now against my better judgment.
This is so, first of all, let me I'm throwing the protest flag on this segment.
Help her.
No, okay. If this was a guy, again, if this was a guy
double
and it was
standard.
The other way around, you'd be furious,
yeah.
Jess.
Right. You're right. Double standard. Yeah, I mean.
You got to figure this out yourself, but at least we want to know about it.
I kind of want you to go on this limo ride with Kennesaw boy.
I don't think I can't not go. That sounds so exciting to me.
Well, and think about how this dude's showing up, because Kennesaw guy is the guy that doesn't have a lot of cash.
Right.
But here he is. He's getting a limo for you. He's got something really special planned. And rich guy in Midtown, what has he got planned for the weekend? Nothing yet, right?
Yeah, probably just dinner on Saturday night.
If Kennesaw boy ends up proposing to you and you say yes, you've got to clean up your act. Period. Because you're being so cruel to these men.
Hey, Aaron, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, Bert. I was just saying that I think Olivia is really taking tire kicking to a new level. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty typical for women to have a checklist.
Uh-huh.
You know, they'll say, well, I want this, 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 and this in a guy. But then they'll also have the guy they like. And I think she's just going back and forth comparing them.
I mean,
and she should have moved in with him.
Well, you got some decisions to make because they're both going to come at you strong this weekend.
Yeah. Maybe the first decision you make is what time can you join us on Monday?
Hey, Dwayne. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. I want to ask this girl, this lady, is she having sex with these guys?
Are you intimate with both dudes?
What do you think?
Yeah,
I mean, you're living with both of them.
Yeah.
Right.
You already said you had two special nights on that weekend you moved in, so
hey.
Of course.
Here's good morning, Q100.
Yeah, I just had a question.
Uh-huh.
What if both guys are in the limo when they show up?
Oh, boy.
No, that'd be beautiful.
If they found out about each
guys
other.
Guys aren't that smart.
Mm-mm, we just get angry and
women,
put our fist through a wall.
Women would do that, and guys wouldn't spend the money. Like if one guy said, hey, let's split a limo.
Well, maybe Midtown guy bought it because he's got all the money.
Okay.
So, could be.
All right, so as it stands right now, you're confused. You have no idea what the plan's going to be for Valentine's Day.
Correct.
Well,
well at
I don't
least
know
check
if I feel too
you.
Bad for
predicament.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to find some way to get in that limo. But he can't drop me off at my mother's house afterwards, because that'll be really awkward.
No, you're on your own on this. Yeah.
Because I haven't been there in a while.
We don't even have a chance. I wonder, like, isn't this tiring for you? Like, to try to keep up the stories in your own mind on who you're supposed to...
So far, it's been more exciting than tiring. Because I really enjoy the craftiness. But I'm getting a little bit worn out about how I'm going to swing next weekend.
You're so sort of like cold and mean about it, though. Like,
I'd be careful with the use of the word swing, to be honest with you.
Right. All right, Olivia, we will talk to you next week, okay?
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That kind of like coldness and just kind of like that. She's really sort of getting off by the whole deception of the whole thing.
She's behaving craftiness like a guy.
The Bird Show. Get it? The Bird Show.
So bear with me for a second if you're on Facebook with me or you follow on Twitter. As I was telling these guys, man, it feels like I've been gone 3 weeks. Me and my crew, we just covered a lot of ground in Miami over 4 days. It was like nonstop party after nonstop party after nonstop party. And everybody that went on the trip sort of had their own kind of connections to what was going on. So either I was on the phone trying to get us into a party that everybody was talking about, or my friend Justin was, or Delvette, and everything just sort of, this was 4 days where it all fell into place. So it was
how
party after party.
How many people were in your group?
There was five of us.
Five. Okay. Total.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So on I'm reading some of my tweets because I couldn't remember everything happened. first day, I was all bummed out because I really wanted to go there, and I just assumed we'd see celebrities all over the place. And the only one I saw was Biz Markie.
Oh.
And that was the very first.
Oh, say I he's just you. A friend.
You got what I need. Yeah. So he was the first one. I was shopping the next day down Lincoln Avenue and ran into Usher.
And said hey to Usher.
He was buying some clothes for his kids, so we had a little man hug there and said hey for a couple seconds. Just some random notes from the week. The rumor there was that Neo went to a club called Mansion, and he bought 100 bottles of champagne and just passed them out in the crowd.
Yeah, that's true. They were tweeting about that.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
So he's just hanging out, and all these high-end bottles of champagne, Neo hooking them up.
It's expensive.
I went to the GQ party, and I tweeted that I'd never felt uglier in my life. And I got to meet Hines Ward, who is a wide receiver for Pittsburgh, but graduated from UGA. So we talked about Bulldog football for about 15 minutes, which was really pretty cool.
Does he play with Mike Vick now?
No, he's with the Steelers. Vick is with the Eagles.
Got it.
All right, but there was the Bulldog connection more than anything else, so that was cool. I ended up backstage at this Pepsi Smash thing where Justin Bieber was headlining. Y'all, I mean, we know how big Justin Bieber is, but to be backstage and actually see it from the stage was unbelievable.
Is it teeny bopper heaven?
It's nutty. First of all, his entourage is getting bigger and bigger now. I mean, filled like, you know, family. And he's got more handlers now. I mean, 7 months ago, one dude came in with him. He's got a lot of people to take care of him now, right? So I'm backstage with them, and the crowd, there are, it must have been 10,000 13-year-old girls all chanting, Justin, Justin,
he must have been
Justin.
In heaven.
He's just all over the place right now, so he's tired. So I said hey to him, and he was with Nick Cannon and Sean Kingston also.
That's cool.
All three of them were up on stage. I ran into Eli Manning and Donovan McNabb and Sean Merriman, which is cool if you're a big football fan.
Is Eli hot?
His wife is. I'll tell you that. You don't see her much, but she's very, very cute.
Did you tell Eli how much you hate him?
I did not.
You don't like him? Really?
I got no beef really with Eli. It's Peyton. Well, you mean Eli because of the whole San Diego Chargers thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Stuart Scott from ESPN.
Oh, that's cool. Okay,
no,
that's
he's awesome. A boosh.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people were asking for pictures and autographs, and he's the only guy all weekend long I saw turn stuff down.
No way.
Are you serious?
Why?
I always heard that he was such a nice guy.
Not this day.
Wow.
I met Russell Simmons at a celebrity poker tournament and took a picture with Russell Simmons.
Saw that tweet.
I ended up on the hills.
What happened with the guy who lost his watch?
They found it. This guy is like a chic. He was playing in the celebrity poker tournament, and he lost his ring, actually.
Okay.
And fell to the ground. And he was telling everybody there was like a $100,000 ring. So everybody is scrambling for this guy's ring because they're thinking, okay, if I get on this guy's good side, it's Miami. He may hook us up all week. So one of the guys in my crew actually found it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he would, yeah. So.
What'd you get out of it?
Nothing. Mm. Yeah, not a thing.
All right, go back to the hills.
Yeah, I ended up on the hills. I'm sitting in the lobby of a place called Eden Rock, and Audrina is there, mm-hmm. and she's sitting on a couch all by herself.
I don't even know if I'd be able to pick her out of a lineup.
You probably
I think she's
would.
She's pretty easy to you identify. Think? Yeah. Well, if you're a fan of the show.
If you've watched The Hills like Wendy or Bert, mm-hmm. you know exactly who she is.
Nobody was coming up to her. She sat in a chair by herself for like 20 minutes. Nobody came up and said, hey, or oh, asked no. for a picture or anything. But somehow.
Jersey Shore is the new Hills.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right?
Aww. Hills is dead. Mm.
Somehow I ended up in the shot because somebody from MTV. Taps me on the shoulder and says, look, here's a waiver. Looks like you're going to be on the hills. We got you in one of the shots. So will you sign this waiver? So I signed the waiver and I said, when is it going to be on? She said, she didn't know, but I'm in the shot, so I might be on the hills.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Isn't that funny? I told her I'd be the oldest guy ever on that show.
It'd be like a dream come true.
Jessica Alba and Joel Madden were at the Drake Common Show at Eden Rock. Jessica Alba is this big, y'all. I mean, she's lost so much weight. She looks too skinny.
Remember when she came in here, however long ago that was?
That was a while back, yeah.
It was a long time ago. She came in studio with us.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. She looks much different than she did then, though. She's really, really thin. Hmm. So I saw her at the Drake Common Show. A lot of these shows happened at Eden Rock. A magazine here in town, 944, bought up an entire hotel in Miami. And they turned it sort of into the happening party all weekend long, and they hired everybody to come in and play parties and do shows. So they hired Drake and Common. I saw Wyclef there also.
Cool.
And while, you know how much I love Wyclef, LL Cool J jumps up on stage and does Mama Said Knock You Out with Wyclef.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is LL just as good looking in person?
He's still looking good. He didn't want to go on stage. They called him out like he didn't want to do his thing, but once he got up there, man, he owns it. And he's still huge. Huge.
So yummy.
So that was at the 944 party there. Then I did meet the guys from the Jersey Shore also.
Saw that.
And I took a picture with the situation. And what's the name of the other dude?
Pauly D.
Pauly D at the
W. Wendy was most excited about.
I know. I saw the situation. I was like, my boyfriend, my love.
Seriously. Come on.
I think he's awesome.
People were leaving him alone. Like, if they're planning on doing the next season in Miami, it might be a tough sell because nobody really cared. Maybe it was because of this weekend and then there were so many, like, A-listers in town that nobody cared that, you know, the guys from Jersey Shore were there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But nobody, they weren't really giving him a lot of love. I saw Chris Rock at the W, who also now is about this skinny. And I told these guys earlier that Sunday I just got through a friend. I was at A-Rod's house watching the Super Bowl with A-Rod. He had a party for about 100 people, put up a big old 20 by 20 screen in his backyard, and Ashton Kutcher was there, and Demi Moore were there before the game also, and Derek Jeter was there as well. This guy's house is probably 15,000 square feet, and it's typically like that Miami Mediterranean sort of feel, and it's just one of the nicest homes I've ever seen. The pool in the back is like Olympic size.
Was it like wowing when you drove up the driveway? Like, wow, I can't believe we're here.
The neighborhood that he lives in is really pretty modest until you get past the gates and then there's like celebrity home. I think Rosie O'Donnell lives in the same neighborhood. I think Madonna lives down the street also.
Oh, that's cool.
And he lives on the water, so there are like four yachts parked in his slip. And it was just like this high-end, high-society party that he threw for 150 people. It was catered, all the booze that you could want. Music was cranking the whole time. He had an awesome DJ there. And there's Alex Rodriguez just going from person to person saying, hey, thanks for coming to my party and hanging out.
It's cool.
That's so cool. Wow. Now, the big scoop is like, who is he dating now? Because, you know, we went from Madonna to Kate Hudson. And then now the rumor is Cameron Diaz. And then a couple days ago, there were pictures of him with a mystery brunette. In quotes.
And I'm fairly certain he was with the mystery brunette. She's a little like, she's like 5'4", little Cuban looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Stunning. Stunning.
And so you think that that's really the girl he's hooking up with, not Cameron Diaz?
That's, yeah, at least for that day it was. Okay. I know that. And the oddest thing I saw at the party, I told these guys earlier, is that that Ashton is there and he's got a camera full on around his neck like he is a tourist in Hawaii for the first time.
It's kind of funny.
Like one of his commercials? You know, yes. He's always taking pictures of people at a party.
He's living the endorsement.
Yeah. He really is. Uh-huh. Like that long lens on it. So yeah. He really is living the endorsement. And she is just a little itty bitty thing. Mm-hmm. And he's a tall dude.
How tall?
I felt like he was like 6'4".
Really?
6'2", 6'4".
I would have never thought him that tall. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was alarming. I'm like, dude.
Just unusual for Hollywood.
Yes. Yeah, right?
Yeah, very.
So I'm a little hoarse today just because there were so many damn good parties, mm-hmm. and I just felt like we got to do them all.
Right.
If we're here, we got to do them all.
Yeah.
But the Saints fans there outnumbered the Colts fans, I mean, 50-1.
Mm-hmm. You can tell just by watching the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could you?
Yeah.
Crowd noise, yeah.
It was an intense weekend, mm-hmm. and it's one that
awesome.
I'm not going to be able to duplicate for a very long time. I can promise you that.
You're on The Burt Show.